sometimes we've seen three generations from the same family engage with us in the network in very different shapes and forms, but to land at a combined ethos in terms of their giving. And because ultimately our role is not just to unlock capital, it's to unlock confidence, clarity, and conviction. And that's how we move closer to our collective goal of a thriving India. It's shaped by thoughtful, aligned, and systems-aware giving.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, professionals, and of course, philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. Welcome to the fourth season of Catalyzing Change, The Power of Philanthropy, in collaboration with Giving Pi, India's first family-focused philanthropy network. Dasra's research on philanthropy highlights that Indian families are an integral part of the Indian economy, contributing approximately 40% to private philanthropy. They contribute through personal giving and CSR initiatives by family-owned and family-run businesses. As wealth increases and transitions across generations, Indian families are reshaping the philanthropic landscape through investments in bold ideas, funding newer focus areas, and taking a more intentional, system-focused approach to giving. Over the last few seasons, we have spotlighted how philanthropists are stepping up in often overlooked spaces, from mental health and gender equity to animal welfare and the arts. In this season, we look to the future. Through conversations with philanthropists and change makers, we will explore emerging trends, fresh approaches, and what the signal for the evolving future of Indian philanthropy. This episode explores an emerging shift in Indian philanthropy, the rise of philanthropy networks, and unpacks the roles they play in the ecosystem of giving, in a sector that's often deeply personal and sometimes solitary. Networks like Giving Pi are creating space for trust, learning, and alignment, thereby contributing to shaping the future of Indian philanthropy. Launched in 2022, Giving Pi is India's first family-focused philanthropy network, which has since grown to 400 plus members and counting. Joining us for this episode is Geetika Dadlani. Geetika is Associate Director at Dasra, where she leads Giving Pi. With over a decade of experience in strategic philanthropy, Geetika specializes in mobilizing high-impact networks and cross-sector partnerships to drive systemic change. Prior to Giving Pi, she served as Director at Mir Foundation, the family foundation of Shah Rukh Khan, where she built a holistic support ecosystem for acid attack survivors. She also led CSR initiatives for Red Chillies Entertainment and the Kolkata Knight Riders. Welcome, Geetika. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me and for that kind introduction. It's a pleasure to be here, Gaurav.
Geetika, you know, let's start off with a context setting question, and you are the right person to address this because of the role that you currently play. You know, Dasra has been a leader in India's social impact space for over 25 years, and 25 years is a long enough time in any nation's history. If I may ask you, what gap in the larger ecosystem, because philanthropy and the whole ecosystem of giving is a very large one. There are complex pieces, there are multiple layers and multiple players also, if I may say so, and also great degree of involvement from other stakeholders. What gap has Dasra, you know, observed that led to the creation of Giving Pi? Is there a particular gap that you, Dasra, and you have observed, and that is something that Giving Pi is trying to fill and solve? And what need was it aiming to address when it was first conceived?
Thanks, Gaurav. So Dasra's journey over the last 26 years has really been one of listening deeply and building with intention. Actually, early on, we recognized that we had not just the responsibility, but also the capability, the connections, and the energy to be a long game change agent. And we made a clear commitment to create a transformative difference in the ecosystem. I think over time, Dasra has evolved through different phases, from being a philanthropy fund to a bridge between NGOs and funders, and now more than two decades later, it has cemented its identity as a leading nonprofit systems orchestrator. We're working across a diverse set of stakeholders in India's social impact space. And I think a crucial part of that journey has been our focus on strengthening the philanthropy infrastructure in India. Over the years, we've engaged closely with more than 400 philanthropic families, and one question that just keeps resurfacing for us: what more is needed to unlock the full potential of Indian philanthropy? Because while both wealth and the intent to give are growing in India, I think there's still a gap, a real gap between the giving potential of families and the needs of the most vulnerable communities. We keep hearing versions of the same sentiment from families. I want to give more, but where do I start? What are others doing in the spaces that I'm thinking? Also, can I speak to someone who's been on this journey similar to mine? So these questions were signals for us of a growing desire to give more intentionally, right? But also a need for trusted spaces where families could connect, learn, and build clarity in their giving journeys. And that's essentially the gap that GivingPi is setting out to fill. As India's first family-focused philanthropy network, GivingPi is a natural extension of what Dasra has done through the years. And how do we take that and build further?
Indeed, absolutely, Gitika. You know, can you tell us more about the role of network like GivingPi in the broader philanthropic ecosystem? Because how would you describe GivingPi as an aggregator of individual philanthropists who is interested in exploiting and taking advantage of the power of collectives, which GivingPi brings through its network in the ecosystem? How does it work, and what is the power that it unleashes and triggers?
What you say, all of the above, yes. But GivingPi essentially plays two roles in India's philanthropic ecosystem. It connects and it catalyzes. Because philanthropy essentially, in India's context, has traditionally been very personal and quiet, shaped by values, culture, and their lived experiences. But what we noticed early on is that many families were navigating their giving journeys in isolation. They have the desire, they have the resources, and often they have the urgency. But what they lacked was a space to ask questions, reflect honestly, share their challenges, and learn from others walking a very similar path to them. So GivingPi was created to change that. It's a trusted network where families come together to share, learn, grow, and act. We don't ever tell people where to give, right? Instead, we create environments where they can discover that for themselves through the three C's that we work on: community, convenings, and communications. And we've seen time and again how powerful that approach can be. I think one recent example is the Pride Fund, which we talk about with a lot of pride. It started out with a few GivingPi members who cared deeply about the LGBTQIA plus inclusion. They wanted to understand how to support the space with thoughtfulness and care. And those early conversations evolved into a multi-donor collaborative, which was envisioned and anchored by these philanthropists. It's the first of its kind in India, focused specifically on the queer community. And today, the Pride Fund is supporting grassroots organizations working across rights, livelihoods, health, and safety. So what began as individual curiosity became collective action, with the network acting as the bridge in this case. I think another example is from the animal welfare space. Last year, a GivingPi member collaborated with Dasra to release one of the country's first strategic reports on the overall landscape of animal welfare in India. And for many families, it opened up an entirely new lens, right? Through learning sessions and NGO showcases, several people have now started supporting organizations working on urban stray care, wildlife protection, and infrastructure for veterinary health. Often integrating these existing broader portfolios, which could be alongside health or education. So what this is doing is creating a nexus of families exploring the intersectionalities between these sectors and how to think about funding them. And these moments show us that networks can stretch a philanthropist's worldview. They know what they know, but what GivingPi does is gives them the visibility to larger causes. GivingPi also provides the exposure to these underfunded sectors, invites reflections from families, and encourages them to give with greater intentionality. I think what we're trying to do is also play a role in shifting how philanthropy is perceived through communication and narrative building efforts. Whether it's through The Philanthropist, which is our magazine focused on family philanthropy, or platforms like this one with Money Control, we're helping mainstream a more strategic and inclusive approach to giving. I think GivingPie is helping strengthen the ecosystem for Indian philanthropy by creating the conditions, right, for coordinated, purpose-driven action that can unlock the full potential of private capital and actually driving India's development goals.
You know, Gitika, you have kind of a front seat view of this space because you have interacted and you engage with philanthropists at very different stages of their journey. What aspects of GivingPie have funders most benefited from, and what do they need more of? What is it something that is required more in abundance and is currently in short supply but would rather do more with?
You know, that's such an important question, because one of the things we are very intentional about at GivingPie is meeting philanthropists where they are. What are their needs? So we engage with families at all points in their journey, right? Some are just getting started. They've built their businesses or inherited wealth and now are focusing on kickstarting their philanthropic endeavors. While others have been giving for decades and are looking to maybe sharpen their strategy, bring in the next generation, or explore causes and expand their portfolios. And what's really fascinating is that across the spectrum, the needs are more similar than you might expect. For many families, they come with an affinity because their giving is extremely personal, a sector they care about, or a cause they've supported in some way. But before they deeply commit, they want to understand the breadth of the work. What's happening on the ground? Where are the gaps? Who's already funding what? And what members value most, I think, is the ability to learn in a trusted, non-transactional space. They're not being solicited to as part of the network. Because philanthropy can be lonely, especially at the top. And I think they say that for successful people as well. There's often a pressure, right, to have the answers, to appear strategic or certain. And what we're trying to do at GivingPie is offer something different, a space where it's okay to ask the basic questions, to admit uncertainty, and to learn from others' experiences. One of the things our families find extremely beneficial are our curated convenings and roundtables. Whether they're deep dives into climate resilience, early childhood development, or arts and culture, we've had members repeatedly shift their thinking after attending one of our gatherings. We have a great example because we did a convening that was hosted by YPO in Delhi, where stalwarts like Rohini Nilkani and Ashish Dhawan spoke very candidly about their philanthropic strategies and lived experiences. And 3 years later, we were recently in Delhi having a meeting with a GivingPie member, and he shared that hearing them actually inspired him to launch his own fellowship model within his business to deepen his strategic giving. So alongside our convenings, our families also benefit deeply from GivingPie's community impact and advisory support, because that's extremely bespoke in its nature. We work closely with our members to design and evolve their giving journeys, right? Whether that means identifying new focus areas, rethinking governance structures, because that's constantly evolving, or exploring more flexible and long-term approaches to funding. We've helped families move capital into underserved sectors, explore unrestricted giving, and align more closely with their values and what matters most to them. And this is where we see real behavior change, not just in how families give, but in how thoughtfully and consistently they are willing to engage with us. What we're also doing is investing in the power of communication and narrative building. Because as you would know, which is your expertise, storytelling creates connections through The Philanthropists, our monthly newsletters, and through leadership platforms and media engagement. We're amplifying stories of giving from across the network, across families, across diaspora families. These stories not only offer good insights, but they also are building visibility and aspiration around family philanthropy in India, building this ecosystem for others to learn and, you know, share from. We've seen members reach out to one another after reading someone's journey, learning, leading to new conversations, new connections, and in some cases, which we all hope for, collaborative funding. And for what funders need more of, I think three things come to my mind, right? I think first, families want greater systems context. They're seeking to understand interconnections between sectors. And we are responding by building more thematic pathways and insight-driven tools to help families give with greater clarity. Second, I think they need intergenerational frameworks because today many families are navigating these transitions. They're not just handing over wealth, but values, intent, and responsibility. So what we're doing now is expanding, you know, our programming to create these opportunities, especially for the next generation of givers. And I think third, families are asking for structured time to reflect. Everybody leads extremely busy lives, right? And so much of philanthropy can get caught up in being execution focused and quite reactive. So while we are constantly trying to build trust with families, we are also becoming their thinking partners, their thought partners in their journeys, whether it's through advisory, one-on-one conversations that are helping families step back and reconnect with their purpose. This helps them build, you know, the long-term intentionality and sustainability in their endeavors. Sometimes we've seen three generations from the same family engage with us in the network in very different shapes and forms, but to land at a combined ethos in terms of their giving. And because ultimately our role is not just to unlock capital, it's to unlock confidence, clarity, and conviction. And that's how we move closer to our collective goal of a thriving India. It's shaped by thoughtful, aligned, and systems-aware giving.
You know, Gitika, you briefly mentioned that it can philanthropy and the whole ecosystem of giving at an individual level can also be lonely. It can be a very solitary journey in many occasions. It can also be, I assume, a little frustrating, isn't it? In your experience, what kinds of mindset shifts are you seeing among funders today compared to, say, previously? Are there changes in how they think about risk, collaboration, or the kind of impact they want to have? Are they constantly monitoring impact of the programs that they have personally given to or have invested, you know, family funds in? Is there a mindset shift that you're noticing for the better because it's getting more and more organized and structured now, Gitika?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, we're seeing deep shifts in how funders are thinking, whether it's the strategy, the risk, and impact on all three fronts, right? And the latest India Philanthropy Report has helped validate a lot of what we've been hearing from families and observing on the ground. The first major shift I'd like to say is towards strategic and long-term giving. And we see this across GivingBuy. Families are asking, so what kind of systemic change are we contributing to? Are we actually moving the needle on things or just filling gaps? So they're thinking long-term now, and they're willing to sit with this complexity. For example, we've seen growing interest in climate resilience and DEI, right? Which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. These areas don't always offer quick wins, but they require the sustained engagement and capital, and families are willing to invest in it now. The second big shift is around collaboration. So historically, philanthropy has been anchored in silos by families. Many families have almost preferred to act independently, right? They're acting quietly and efficiently, but doing it all on their own. But now, I think especially among the newer and next-gen funders, we're seeing a stronger interest in aligning, co-funding, and learning together. So whether it's families coming together around maybe say early childhood education or co-investing in emerging areas like palliative care, because no matter how large the capital, no problem in India will be solved by one family. But multiple families coming together in a strategic manner could actually help move the needle that we want to see. I think the third and the most transformative shifts that we're seeing is how funders are thinking about risk. Traditionally, philanthropy in India has been quite conservative, right? Funders were wary of unstructured funding, hesitant to back maybe untested ideas, and often focused on the short cycles and tangible outputs. But I think now families are open to funding non-programmatic areas. This could include maybe leadership development, research, and field building. And we're seeing a real appetite for this within our GivingBuy community. Especially through our advisory work, we're helping families, you know, channel capital into things like tech infrastructure, organizational resilience, often for the grassroots NGOs that are proximate to the communities they serve, but overlooked by mainstream funders. And I think that brings me to the fourth shift, proximity. Funders are no longer comfortable being distant from the realities that they're hoping to influence. They want to engage with the field, understand context, and build trust with these NGO leaders. We have families and Giving Pi members traveling from across the globe. And not just them, right? They're also bringing their children to meet these organizations. They want to have that firsthand experience of the realities on the ground, which goes a long way in building connection and empathy with these causes. And I think lastly, there's a shift in how impact is being defined. So it's not just about numbers anymore. Families are also now asking, who had the agency? Was the work dignified? Are we just shifting outcomes or actually shifting power? So I think this shift from funding outputs to enabling outcomes is where we believe the real transformation lies. And I think that's where at Giving Pi, we are placing a lot of energy, helping families reflect on intent, understand complexity, and given ways that are, you know, bold, strategic, and extremely deeply human.
Indeed, absolutely. It was only about time that I actually shifted the focus from output to outcome, which is where the real change becomes visible, tangible, and also becomes intergenerational in terms of change and upward mobility of the among people and communities that we are trying to really lift. Finally, Githika, looking ahead, what future does Giving Pi see for itself and for Indian philanthropy more broadly in the broader framework, particularly as we move towards Viksit Bharat 2047, what role can philanthropists play in supporting such networks?
You know, this is an extremely timely question and one we're often asking ourselves when planning, you know, long-term engagements with families, because where we're at is at a moment of real possibility, I think both for India and for Indian philanthropy. So if we're serious about Viksit Bharat 2047, a future where every Indian thrives with dignity, then we need to be bold with coordinated action across sectors. Public systems will carry part of the load for sure, but they need to be matched with catalytic capital, long-term thinking, and committed philanthropy. So at Giving Pi, we believe family-led philanthropy has a defining role to play, right, in this journey. Families bring more resources, they bring values, they bring trust, and they bring the staying power. So by 2030, our goal as Giving Pi is to become India's largest family philanthropy network, with members collectively solving some of the country's most complex social challenges. And another goal is to strengthen the ecosystem around giving, because we have to become something that enables learning, proximity, and collective action. What we're seeing is also already this ecosystem take shape. Families are engaging with us and willing to engage with underrepresented sectors. They're collaborating across generations and geographies. And they're asking the harder questions, right? Not just about where to give, but how to stay accountable to the communities that they're supporting. And as we grow, Giving Pi is also expanding its regional chapters, building cross-sector learning and deepening our work with diaspora families. What we're doing is we're also anchoring these collaboratives where members can shape solutions together, whether it could be in early childhood development, gender equity, or climate resilience. Because we strongly believe that India is charting the course for the future today. If you can solve for India, Gaurav, you can solve for anywhere. Our country's scale and complexity demands a problem-first lens, and it has been a ground for innovation for a very long time. So we're convinced that the next big ideas in global development will come from us, from the interplay of grassroots wisdom, entrepreneurial spirit, and values-led giving. Across the country, I think we're seeing extraordinary innovation, not only in tech and enterprise, but in ways communities are organizing, solving, and sustaining for change. Grassroots leaders are designing solutions that are deeply contextual and often far ahead of the curve. Also, NGOs are experimenting with newer models. It could be in education curriculums or climate resilient livelihoods. And these are being studied globally. And Indian philanthropists are really stepping up into, you know, more ambitious roles, funding research, building field infrastructure, and enabling bold long-term work. At Giving Pi, we're deeply inspired by this momentum. You know, families are supporting leadership, storytelling, and movement building, showing that Indian philanthropy today can be both agile and grounded. It can be responsive, yet extremely strategic. And our role at Giving Pi is to further amplify that. We are here to give families the tools, the trust, and community to lean into the opportunities with confidence. So I think as we move towards 2047, we want to see the Indian philanthropy and the ecosystem not just grow, but lead, right? To lead in how we fund, who we fund, and why we are funding. And to become a global reference point for what trust-based, collaborative, and systemic giving can look like.
Absolutely, Gitika. You know, very well said. If you can solve something for India, given the complexity, scale, and size, then you can solve many things everywhere else. Thank you so much, Gitika, for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure for me as well.